Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason. The show, The Doctor in the House, heard every Sunday right here on AM 1690 WVON. We've got a super, super duper jam packed show today. We've got the University of Illinois to discuss some issues around clinical trials and breast cancer. And I've got Jonathan Kruger, who's going to give us first a very quick update on a major event coming up that I'll be a part of next week called Veggie Fest. I want you to make sure that you know all about it. And you can come in. Jonathan, are you there? Hello? Well, it'll be taking place over at in Lyle, and they usually get over 10,000 people that show up to this. And then there's a tent. We'll have a bunch of different. There's all kinds of food and all kinds of things going on. But we'll have a number of lectures from some very notable people that you should hear. You've heard of Dr. Baxter Montgomery. You've heard of just a number of these gentlemen. They're going to be gentlemen and ladies that are going to be there. So I wanted Mr. Kruger was going to give us a rundown on who just will be there. We'll probably get. All right. So Jonathan, you want to give the folks a rundown on what's going to be happening next week? Hello.
Hello, you got Dr. Dougal here. How you doing, Dr. Mason?
Oh, hey, Dr. Dougal, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Good to talk to you this morning.
Oh, it's good. It's great to talk to you. It's been a long time. I just want everybody to know Dr. Dougal has been one of the people who've been on the forefront on this revolution in eating and the relative relationship between what we eat and the diseases we do or do not get. So it's great to hear you. So great to hear you. How are things?
Absolutely fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, just fine. Just fine. Well, what do you got in store for us for next week? We got a lot of stuff going on for next week. So they'll give an audience just a taste of what's going on.
All right. So we have the largest vegetarian food festival in North America coming to you next Saturday and Sunday. That's August 10th and 11th out in Lyle, Illinois. And it's been going strong since 2005. We're expecting about probably 50,000 people over the weekend to be there. We have over 20 world-renowned speakers coming in, live food demos, tons of vendor tents. We have a great international food court featuring cuisines of all different types of food from across the world. And we're going to have live music, a kids festival, just a whole lot of fun stuff going on and bringing some positivity to the community.
Well, this is wonderful. Yes, every year I broadcast from Veggie Fest. So I'll be broadcasting live from Veggie Fest as well during next week. But it is just an amazing thing. And if you've not been there, if you've never, ever, ever been there, you really, 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 really need to know and come on out. and support, because it's a wonderful thing. How are things with you, Dr. McDougall?
Doing fantastic. So I'm still working in the nursing homes all over the greater Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana area. I focus primarily on rehabilitation, primarily with the elderly. And because of that, we really have a chance to make huge changes in people's lives for the betterment. You know, in rehab, we oftentimes see people after a big catastrophic injury, a stroke, a heart attack, broken bones, joint replacements. And people are looking to get well, and they're looking at how can I make a change in my life so I can feel better. And it's oftentimes the first time they start to even hear anything about nutrition and exercise, maybe since they were back in grade school. So we really have a wonderful opportunity to kind of bring a lot of information to people and make a positive impact in their life.
Well, one of the other folks that are on the line is the University of Illinois, and they were doing a lot of things in breast cancer research and things of that nature. And it's just really phenomenal that all these things are going on. And let's tell the people where they can come next Sunday, where we will be.
So we are going to be in Lisle, Illinois. It's going to be at the Donata South Park. That's 2701 Navistar Circle. Again, that's Donata South Park, 2701 Navistar Circle. That's in Lisle, Illinois. And it's just about 35 to 40 minutes outside of the downtown Chicagoland area, out in the western suburbs. We have a great area set up for everybody, free parking, no entry costs whatsoever. So it's not like a festival you got to pay just to show up at. And the food is very economical. Tons of things going on all throughout the weekend. So we're really looking forward to having everybody come. Again, come get a whole holistic experience, learn how to meditate, how to reduce your stress, bring some good energy into your nutrition, and also learn how to move and exercise and feel well overall.
Well, we'll be there. We will all be there. I will be there. We'll be having a wonderful time. And I think that I'm looking forward to learning some new stuff myself. So we always do. Every time I go, I learn something, and especially from you and the other speakers that are going to be there. It is wonderful. And you have to pay for any of these speakers. You can come in and see. There'll be a big tent, and you'll get a chance to get on in and see what's going on. We've also got on the line the university. I'm sorry. The parts of the University of Illinois that are dealing with cancer research. And I want to go ahead and intro our guests that are on the show right now. And Dr. Patel, are you there? Dr. Patel? Oh, somebody's clicking something. Hello? And we're going to be trying to get to talk about breast cancer. We're having some technical difficulties, but I'm sure we'll get on. So as soon as Dr. Patel is on, or Dr. Akintunde.
I'm here. Shanita Akintunde. Yes, Shanita Akintunde is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not a doctor, but I'm a daughter. but Dr. Patel, I know, was trying to log in. But good morning, doctor, to you. Good morning to you. You're the doctor. I'm excited to be here on behalf of the Cancer Society. Yes, sir.
All right. Why don't you go right ahead and let us know what's going on?
Well, we are pleased to be a part of this program today, The Doctor in the House, with you, Dr. Terry Mason, to talk about an initiative that is really important to Black women. I mentioned a moment ago that I'm a daughter, but I'm also a Black woman, so I'm a sister. I'm a sister and a sister. Sister, with an A-H on the end, and a sister. But I'm here to talk to you all about the importance of this study that is being done to really amplify what is going on with the disproportionate number of Black women who are showing up to have various forms of cancer. I'm going to let the doctor, when she joins us, Dr. Patel, give you the specificity behind that. But what I can tell you is the reason why I got involved in this program with the American Cancer Society is because anytime there's an opportunity for me to put the word out, so to speak, to spread the good news about opportunities to disparage or dissipate things that are happening in our community, such as what, again, is happening disproportionately with cancer. I'm all for it. It's funny, Dr. Mason, because a family member asked me the other day, Shanita, why are you getting involved in this program? And I want to say to your listeners, I lost my mother, Mary Catherine, in 2012 to cancer. And although she's not physically on this planet with us, we speak every day. And so for her and other victims of cancer and other types of diseases, they are still, we can still hear them from their graves. Their presence is still being felt. And so I hear her saying to me, get the word out about how we can tackle this, how we can get on top of it, and how we can change the narrative from that of despair and discouragement and sadness to something that's more about using the science behind what is happening to Black women.
You know, and that's the reason why, even though I know these are two different events, but that's why I'm really encouraging people to come out to VeggieFest, because you'll get much, much more than just a great opportunity to sample some great food, but also an opportunity to hear the latest and some of the latest and greatest in some of what's going on in what we're doing with cancer and things of this nature, people who have been doing some phenomenal work with cancer. So it's also important. I've been in part of this for many, many years, and I've always been impressed by the quality and the level of the speakers that have come out to really talk about not their opinions, but what we know based on the science. And that's what's in really important, because we have a lot of things in our community that people think and promulgate as truths when they're not. So we really want to make sure that the information, that's why we have this show with the University of Illinois on every with the reasonable frequency to get that information out, because it's really,
absolutely,
really, really important to get that information out.
Absolutely. And it's through platforms like WVON. You know, I consider this to be a family environment. I grew up listening to the station, Southsider, and now, you know, you read my bio, I'm an educator now, an entrepreneur, a TEDx speaker, et cetera, right? And so you have to take snapshots of where people are, but don't base it on where they've come from. And so with the American Cancer Society and partnering with you, Dr. Mason, and doing programs like this, I'm all about enlightening my fellow members of the Black community in particular to say, look, let's get educated. Let's find out what's going on so that we can get to the bottom of what's happening to us. Now, this study, Voices, is committed to targeting Black women, as I mentioned, and also it takes maybe 2 to 3 hours twice a year. So there's a survey that women are asked to complete. It's demographic data that's being collected. It's not a physical examination, so folks don't got to get up in arms and think, oh, Lord, I got to go in the physical doctor. No, you take time out. You take a written survey. You provide the information that you're asked, roughly half an hour, if that, to complete in total. So you could watch a Netflix show, get some popcorn, and do the survey at the same time. Just don't get grease on your computer when you're doing it. And then after you complete it, in all seriousness, the information will be aggregated, and that will give us data from which we can start to have informed decisions that doctors like Dr. Patel and others are able to make to tackle this disease. Dr. Mason, I don't know about you, but again, those of us who are impacted by family members who we have lost or who are fighting currently this battle with cancer, we too are a part of this experience. You know what I mean? We are, I don't like to use the word victim, but we are a part of the passage of this as well. So it's not just those impacted, but the family members, friends, as a community, it impacts us.
Well, this is why we try to do the things we can. And we're appreciative of what the university has done. And Dr. Patel has joined us. Dr. Patel, how are you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. And I apologize for the technical issues.
No, no problem. You're on. That's all that matters. You're on right now. So we go with where we are right now. Well, you know, there's a lot going on. And as you know, I have been impacted tremendously by understanding that what we eat makes a great big difference in how we live. You're talking to a guy who used to take a day, and I ended up with three stents in my heart as a result of it. And went from that to not eating. If it walks, hops, crawls, swims, got eyes, a mama and a daddy, I don't eat it. And that's why. Because I really, it has made a difference in my life. And I think, and we want to get that. And that's why I'm encouraging people to come out to Veggie Fest, which is next Sunday. Come on out to Veggie Fest, and you'll hear a lot of speakers, not just opinions, but science. I mean, really, really, really clear science about what's going on. And we're now, finally, the medical profession is beginning, thank God at last, to understand the relationship between food and disease, and particularly food and disease as it relates to inflammation and what inflammation does as that relates to cancers. So I'm going to stop right here. You guys are the scientists here, and I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Patel talk about those things that you're doing, which are really, really, really done, that you're doing well in your position as the senior VP. So you want to go ahead and take it away, Dr. Patel.
Thank you so much again for having me. And so at the American Cancer Society, we've been running these large-scale population studies now for over 70 years. And I love that you're talking about, you know, what is often termed food is medicine. And I also do a lot of work with exercise and disease prevention, and thinking about exercise as medicine. And a lot of what we've learned about healthy diet patterns, about the amount of exercise we should be aiming to get on a weekly basis, about avoiding tobacco smoke, so many things have come out of the studies that we've conducted. And now as we think about what remains, we've learned a lot. I think back to over 25 years ago when I started in the field to today. Back then, there was one sentence in the Surgeon General's report about exercise and health that said, exercise may be beneficial to the prevention of colon cancer. And that was it. That was the only mention of cancer in that Surgeon General's report. Fast forward to today, we've now built the science around exercise and cancer to know that it is conclusively linked to lowering your risk of seven different types of cancer. And I suspect, you know, the next time the Surgeon General's report is updated, there's going to be even more cancers that we know benefit from an active lifestyle. So we've made a lot of progress, but a lot remains. Our work is far from done. And we know that cancer can affect anyone, but we know it doesn't affect everyone equally. And that's really where we've now expanded our focus at the American Cancer Society through Voices of Black Women, is let's understand beyond that which we know, things like quality access to care, which we do know is a contributor to cancer-related and other health disparities for Black women. And we know that there is, there's work to be done there, and we're working on that through our patient support and our advocacy work. But on the research front, what else? Why do we see that even affluent Black women who have access to the best treatments in the world, they're still not surviving a cancer diagnosis at the same rate that a white woman is? These are the types of things that we need to continue to understand. What are all of the factors that influence health and influence the likelihood that you will survive a diagnosis like cancer? About this. Yep.
Oh, well, I'm excited too. And I want you to speak just a bit about what you guys are learning. And I think we have a lot to learn, because in medicine, as a physician, and I was trained at the University of Illinois, and one of the things that is that it's been very poor. We really didn't get into really talking about real nutrition until we were starting to do these big surgeries for people who had pancreatic cancer. And we learned that the role that nutrition played in those people being able to heal from such cancer. So where are we now? Where are we now? Where is the University of Illinois and looking at the relationship to food consumption in these diseases?
So we're looking at it in a lot of newer ways. So, you know, I mentioned that we are looking at diet patterns, but then also individual nutrients. So we're looking at it from that most micro level all the way up to the entire makeup of your diet, and trying to understand which of those factors and in what combinations are really optimal for whether it's the prevention of disease, whether it's about slowing down the progression of disease, or as you mentioned, that's, you know, how we can improve the outcomes after a disease diagnosis. We know that there are certain foods that are better for you to eat when you're going through cancer treatment and longer term. And we know that there are foods, for instance, that you should avoid because they may interact with the treatments that you're undergoing. So we're making a lot of progress. We're also learning a lot of new ways of better measuring diet. You know, diet's a really tough thing to understand because you don't have any one nutrient or any one food in isolation from other things. We eat a lot of different things. And so we're trying to now understand how the way those foods are grown and produced and manufactured, how that affects. So, a lot of people now talk about not just processed food, but now there's this category of ultra processed foods. And how is that ultra processing causing, as you mentioned earlier, things like inflammation? How is it causing, how do you metabolize and break that down, I should say, in your body? So we're trying to understand those newer types of food sources. Today, I think about as a child, many, many decades ago, everything that I ate at home was home cooked from scratch. And I look at today how easy it is for us to call a delivery service to just drop off food or buy prepared foods. And there's a lot of processing that goes into that. So we need to understand how those changes and where our food is coming from and how it's being made is influencing our health. So we're doing some really neat things in our current studies and hope to be able to introduce this in the future in our newer studies like Voices of Black Women. But we're studying things like the gut microbiome. So we're looking at the bacteria that live in someone's gut, and that bacterial makeup is fascinating in terms of how it is important for the way you absorb nutrition out of your food, the way you digest it, and how it may be related to your risk of disease. So technology and science has advanced in so many ways that have allowed us to be able to dig even deeper in breaking apart the complexities of diet so that we can really continue to expand what we know about diet and health.
Well, one of the things I'm going to do just to take a little privilege, and that is one of the people I knew and was good friends and did a lot of work with him. He was a Hebrew Israelite, and they really introduced me to another kind of vegan sort of eating. But more importantly, what we have to do is we need to think about our foods not as diets, but live its. In other words,
right.
we need to focus more on those foods which help to sustain life and to make us able to better withstand the onslaughts of the beginnings of even many of these diseases. And that's one of the things that we talk a lot about at Veggie Fest next Sunday. And the role that food actually does play. It's not no error that people say food is medicine.
Right.
Actually, if you eat the right food, you won't need medicine. So that's where we are, and that's what we're talking about. And it's taken the general scientific community a while to get to this. because my nutrition training at the University of Illinois, when I was there as a student, was 40 minutes all about deficiency diseases. It was 10 minutes talking about that, and then 30 minutes talking about scurvy, beriberi, all those things that were deficiency diseases, which we didn't really see. So I'm glad to hear that you are doing this in the population science area to really talk about what those roles are, because the food is many times one of the factors that can be that the patient has something or the person have control over and can modify their risk factor. Is that right?
I love that you say that because, you know, it is about healthy living, right? And, you know, we focus so much on, you know, what happens when disease happens. But, you know, as a prevention researcher, I love that you're talking about, you know, how should we eat to live healthier? And, you know, what should our lifestyle look like? And then to find ways to help support individuals in doing that. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that eating, you know, much healthier is oftentimes a lot more expensive. It's oftentimes difficult to have somewhere near where you live to be able to access those healthy fruits and vegetables and, you know, aspects of a food that we want to be able to tap into. And so, you know, there's a lot of work there's a lot of work to be done. We need to understand, you know, what it is that we should be eating for optimal health and disease prevention and longevity. You know, I say all the time that, you know, I love being a prevention researcher because I want to learn and help others learn how to live a long, healthy life that is free of disease. You know, rather than how am I going to make it through? And so I appreciate that you talk about, and I love that, you know, live it instead of diet. I might have to steal that from you if you don't mind.
Interject one point to Dr. Patel's wonderful comment. You know, there's a cultural context to this as well. You know, we as Black women, I'm a wife as well. You give your husband or your father the big piece of meat to show you love them. You heap on food on plates to show your family that you appreciate and love them. And so there is a shift that has to occur from piling on the gravy and the big pieces of meat and all the things that we've been conditioned in many ways from our grandmothers and our great grandmothers from a dietary perspective and even how we serve food to say you actually are showing more love when you help someone eat healthier and better, right? But there's
That's such an excellent point.
Yeah. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think that we need to understand that much of what is happening, especially in these last few decades or so, is that the food has been engineered. The food has been so skillfully engineered that our taste buds have been engineered to want something crunchy, salty, and slightly oily. And if you look at the snack industry, that's all it is. And that's what we've been, directed to eat. And then in terms of the drinks, we don't even have to talk about it. I think Dr. Lustig, who is a pediatric endocrinologist in California, talks enough about high fructose corn syrup and what it's doing to our children. And that how high fructose corn syrup stimulates the same cells in the brain as cocaine. So we need to really, really look at what we're eating and what we're drinking in this total. And that's why I'm going to say it again, that the Veggie Fest is so important. You will get lectures from experts around the country, like Dr. Michael Greger, who does a wonderful book, wonderful service called nutritionfacts.org that you can go to at any time for free. Look at free videos on any topic that you have a question about. He reviews all the peer-reviewed data on a regular basis, and that's what he bases what he writes about. because we got a lot of people out here with opinions, you know, and everybody's got an opinion, but everybody doesn't have the facts in a way that we as scientists want to believe that these things should be done. And that's why I'm grateful that you're on the show today, because we need more physicians to begin to extol the benefits of changing the way we eat, because it is much of why we are as sick as we are. And there's some great people, Dr. McDougall, a bunch of folks around that are going to be talking about this. I want everybody to come on out, because you'll get an education that you never got before. And another one, Dr. Baxter Montgomery from Houston, Texas. And he's a cardiologist from the Texas Heart Institute, but yet he does some other things that are rather unconventional that leverage the changing of the bad food to better food. So I'm so glad to hear that you guys are really looking at that and looking at that as it relates to carcinogenesis.
Mm-hmm. And then we're taking it with Voices of Black Women being able to enroll women across 20 states, you know, we're also able to look at, that availability of food, of good food sources. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you live in a food desert or, you know, somewhere where you have, you know, higher quality food availability? How does that, you know, affect then your ability to easily eat healthier? And there's so much that we have to learn, because that can inform how, you know, we might think about even, you know, urban planning or expansion, you know, that, you know, if we can identify those places and show those relationships between where you live and how you eat, or where you live and your ability to go out and safely exercise outdoors, go for a walk, things like that, because of the sidewalks and the traffic and the green space. You know, those are the types of things that we're able to look at across, you know, such a large part of our country, and be able to then really work towards at all of those different levels, at the individual level, you know, and all the way to structural barriers to healthy eating and active living. So there's so much that we need to be able to learn so that we can actually get to a place where we are living, in a healthier way, and in an equitable way across different populations.
I have a theory for how we might be able to track what Dr. Patel is saying, how people are eating in some of the Black communities. I'm being facetious, but it's also a bit anecdotally fact-based, because if you trace those Flamin' Hot Cheeto bags that loiter a lot of the sidewalks and lawns in certain communities back and literally use it as a breadcrumb trail, you can see how our young people in some cases are eating incorrectly early in the morning. I've seen it. And so that is one example to the point about food deserts and other disequities or inequities in certain communities that we are going to be able to look at addressing, because young folk they have a pattern in some cases of eating unhealthy because that's all they have access to.
Right.
And that's a very important point, and it can be easily rectified by coming out to what Dr. Mason is referring to is happening soon, to get information and education.
Right, and that's really what we want to be able to do, is understand those multi-level drivers of health. You know, we've built the study in a way that, of course, as the American Cancer Society, we are most interested in understanding cancer prevention and cancer outcomes, but, you know, our scientific advisory board is made up of leading Black female scientists across a number of health disciplines, so that we can make sure that, you know, we're also thinking about how this study will be a tremendous resource for us to understand prevention of other diseases for Black women as well. So, you know, because we want to think about things like hypertension and heart disease and diabetes, maternal and child health. There's so many health conditions that we want to be able to address through the study at a scale that will actually allow us to find really meaningful answers.
Well, one of the things I'd like to add, and I was there when Mari Gallagher gave a report that popularized this term, food deserts. And one of the things that I've actually spoke to somebody you about, because I'd like to do a different kind of study. And the difference is because what happens is sometimes even when you put the stores, and we've seen that happen, put the stores where the people can get the better foods, they don't get them. They don't buy them. And that's because they don't have any appetite for them. It's not been part. I grew up eating beans, greens, collard greens, all that kind of stuff. I grew up eating that. So I already, and people my generation and grew up that way, have a natural appetite for those things. But if you've never had them, because you grew up in these areas where it never was, you know, there was no Big Mama, you didn't go and eat beans and greens, you know, collard greens and turnip greens. That wasn't part of what you ate as a child. It won't be part of what you eat as an adult. And we look at all these things. That's why we've been talking at Veggie Fest. Do we really want to be well? Because there's so much money in us being sick from everything. And I'm going to be talking specifically about constipation. There's all this, we spend tens of millions of dollars on this stuff. And I don't want to talk about that right now because I'm trying to put this stuff together. Well, one of the things I'd like to work with you guys on is really identifying how long, even in these communities that are so-called food deserts, how long has it been since they've had the right kinds of food to eat?
Right.
And whether or not, even if it was there, would they go eat it?
And that's, I think you just touched on a really important point, right? So is, you know, it's not just about making it available. I think that's where you get to those multiple layers. And, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, culture and the influence of culture and, you know, that it does show love to, you know, to give someone that last bit of food that may be left in the pot or the biggest piece of meat. And
yes.
So on. And how do we start to shift that culture? And so with what we call longitudinal studies, and really that just means you follow a population over time, you know, you're able to start looking at, okay, here is a community or a number of communities across 100,000 women in studies like Voices, where there was not good, you know, there was not an abundance of healthy food options and grocery stores or farmers markets or other sources of healthy food options. And now we introduce those. How does that change what someone's food consumption looks like? And then what are the ways that we need to intervene? What are the ways we need to educate? What are the ways that we need to support individuals to make those different choices than what they may know? And so that, you know, that is one of the things that these types of longer term studies of such large numbers will allow us to look at is, as the places where we live change, how does that influence a change in our behaviors? And, you know, what more do we need to do to change our behaviors? You know, simply putting, you know, again, I do a lot of exercise research. So simply putting a sidewalk, you know, on my street alone is not going to get me to go out and exercise. So what are those other multifaceted approaches? Yes, structurally, we need to put those sidewalks out there. But now how do we teach someone about the importance of being physically active to go and use that sidewalk? So, it really does stem from individual education, which is why, you know, the work that you're doing is so important at the community level, to understanding those structural changes that we need to make to support healthier communities.
Yeah, we've been doing some things because we believe so much that food is the is one of the major factors. And what we decided to do was stop talking about it and do something about it. So we decided that we would put places for food to grow, have people places for people to go, and create an opportunity for people to buy food that has not ever been, the soil has not been contaminated. There's been no organophosphate fertilizers used. Everything is not, I want to say organic, but done in a proper way that protects the integrity of the soil. So, and we've been doing this now for several years, and we just had our first harvest. And the first harvest was this week, and the first food distribution was this week. We also distribute some food to some pantries, but basically what we do is it's a model where you buy a share in the whole deal. And for a half share, which gets you about 25, 30 pounds of food every other week, and half share is 275, and a full share is 500. But that gives you food every other week for the entire growing season. And that includes, last year we had several hundred watermelon that we grew. We'll have watermelon again this year, cucumbers, all the greens, collard greens, turnip greens, spinach, mustards, kale. We'll have all of that stuff. And if you're interested and you want to know more about it, you can just call 872-904-8751. And that's, again, and I'll be giving the number out every week, and it's still not too late. But you get food that's picked. I mean, when you come out, that food is picked just hours before you come out. So there's no nutrient loss. It's not been in the refrigerator. It's not been in any of that stuff. That's why we want you to call the 872-904-8751 number. And let us know. And also, come on out to Veggie Fest. We're going to be talking. I'll be speaking out there. And my I'm speaking is do we want to be well? And what are those barriers that keep us from doing what we want, what we need to do? And that's why, Doctor, I'm very excited. And in any way that I can be helpful, I want to do this because we need this so bad, and we need the science. To catch up with the disease on this particularly, and the sociology. Because we've been talking about food deserts, my God, for I don't know how long. So now I don't want to do about food deserts anymore. I want to talk about how do we go to making sure that we have the right things. But more importantly, if we put it there, will they eat it?
For please you all, the part of this that I think is important to add is that, you know, the flavor, the taste of the food is so much better when you get that healthy, you said literally hours being picked before it's put on the plate or before you're able to take it home. There's a disparate, there's a huge difference in how the flavor comes through and the taste. And I think there is a misperception that the taste and flavor, when you start talking healthy, there's like, it's not mutually exclusive from being flavorful. And I think that can sometimes be a barrier to, and I'll speak for myself, when people would tell me to eat kale, I say, kale, it's delicious, but you have to understand that, and you won't know it until you taste it and really have it fresh. So I think part of this, and this is what I'll be doing as an ambassador with the American Cancer Society, is helping educate other women about how these things can be cooked, how they taste, which is so key, and they actually taste better. What? They taste better than the processed things that you were speaking to earlier, Dr. Mason. So again, I just want to add that it's education, but it's also demystifying and making sure people understand that it's actually better for you, but it tastes better too.
Yep.
And I love that you say that. Oh, sorry. I was just gonna add that I love that you say that. You know, it does matter. Like, you know, food can taste really good. Like, I've had strawberries that don't have any flavor, and then I've had strawberries that, you know, it's literally straight from the farm, and you're blown away at, you know, how rich they can taste. And, you know, and so one of the things that, you know, in these kinds of studies, again, that we also ask is about food sources. So where are you buying your different types of food? We ask about things like, you know, where your water sources are. You know, there's so many things that we need to understand, again, You know, is it that you're not getting those freshest, most flavorful, healthy food options, and that's why you think that something like kale doesn't taste good? And, you know, or is it that you don't know how to prepare it the way that it needs to be prepared? So we want to understand where your food is coming from. We want to understand, you know, how you're, what you're eating, where it's coming from, and so on, so that we can, again, understand how do we really help people eat healthier in a way that is not just sustainable, but it's something that they enjoy.
We need to have a sit down because we've got all we're talking about. No, we do. You know, the little warrior from Push used to always say, we're not so much divided as we are disconnected. And so we need to connect. I've got a bunch of callers on the phone. Let me take one caller. Caller, you on there with your question? Go right ahead. Hello.
Okay. Caller? Hi. Yeah, this is Susan. I had a question of the doctor. I wanted to find out what it is that they tell current cancer patients to eat or not eat. That's one. Two, I've actually been to a Veggie Fest doctor, and I'm surprised I didn't know that you actually did a show from there. But it's been a few years since I've gone. The other thing I wanted to say is, if you want to track where all this has come from, I bet if you look at the growth of places like J&J Fish and Baba's and all those places that came after Harold's, because that's where a lot of people get their food from daily. So I bet if you track the growth of those businesses, you'll track where this has come from in terms of the habits, the grease, the bad food, the carbohydrates that go with it, because you're getting french fries, you're getting white bread, you're getting coleslaw, although coleslaw is supposed to be good. All that comes with it. You can't opt out of it for something, for a real vegetable, no, or something that's not fried.
I hear what you're saying. But wait a minute before that, because I want to get another caller in because the call.
Okay, I just have a first point that's really important, and I would like the doctor to say what she tells the patients or what is suggested. But one thing that I ask people that people seem to never get from their doctor is to not eat sugar, meaning carbohydrates, actual real sugar like candy, and then meat, because all that turns into sugar and it feeds cancer cells. And that they should be eating stuff like broccoli and kale and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and everything that's in that family to help kill the cancer cell. I never hear anybody say a doctor has told them any of that.
All right. Go ahead, doctor. You're on the air. I'm going to try and get another caller in.
Okay,
too.
Great.
Go ahead.
So I'll keep it short and say that if you go to our American Cancer Society website, cancer.org, we actually publish nutrition and physical activity guidelines for both cancer prevention as well as for cancer survivors. And so they go into really, you know, good detail based on the state of the science about what individuals with cancer, because it depends on what type of cancer you have, what you may, you know, what our recommendations would be. But both of those publications are available on cancer.org.
Great, great. All right. Let's take another question. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Am I speaking with Dr. Mason? How you feel, Dr. Mason? Yeah. God bless you, Dr. Mason. You've been on there.
Thank you, sir.
Almost 40. I can't say like 40 years plus. I've been doing it for like 35 years. But Dr. Mason, I just want to say, you keep a lot of good male doctors on the radio show all the time. But this week, you had a lot of female done, and y'all are great. God bless y'all. Keep y'all safe and healthy. I'm off to the Black Women Expo today sometime. A lot of pretty women there. A lot of healthy women there. And that lady spoke a minute ago about how the men, as women, keep the food up on the plate. She's definitely correct. So I just like to say, Dr. Mason, there's too much I can say. You got a good program, good show, a good healthy lifestyle. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. You have a great rest of your day. All right, let's take another caller. Caller, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead. No more callers. Okay, well, I want to make sure I got to everybody. But it's really key that if we, you know, just because food is good for somebody doesn't mean they'll eat it. And so we have to make sure that we put it, that we are considerate of the culture, and so that people will be able to blend that into what they eat. We're running down out of time, and I wanted to give the doctor a little more time to sort of give us some pearls that we could take with us. I want to also remind you to come on out to Veggie Fest. We'll be there next Sunday. Be there out in Lisle, Illinois. Just, if you just get to Lisle, you'll get there. So Lisle, Illinois is where the Veggie Fest is. If you don't know, you can always go online to veggiefest.org, and it's right there. You get a lot of information, great lectures, great, I mean, really, you'll get not just somebody's off their hand, off the cuff idea, but really stuff that's been scientifically proven to be so. So come on out, and I'm doing the lecture too on Do You Want to Be Well? Because what I want to get at is, even when you want to, even when you think you want to start, what stops you? Because we all talk about wanting to do better, but we don't do it. Why? So let's talk about that and what are those, some of those barriers. Do we have another call? We have another caller. I'm sorry. Doc, you want to have a few closing words as we wrap this up?
I would just love to say that, you know, I think that what you're doing in the community is so commendable, because we need to help our communities better understand what we've already learned about living healthy lifestyles. And I would encourage anyone and everyone to please visit voices.cancer.org to learn more about, and if you're eligible, to join us in this new study to help us further understand how to improve the health of future generations of Black women. And I'll pass it over to Shanita for any words that she may have.
Thank you, doctors, both of you. Listen, I just had an epiphany, and American Cancer Society, you all can talk to me about this offline. I'm going to encourage everyone listening within the sound of my voice, Black women, those who were born to a Black woman, to sign up for this study. It's important. And I am going to work with the American Cancer Society as an ambassador. I'm going to continue, but I'm going to have a cooking class or something with y'all. And we're going to talk about how to do the survey and how to cook good food for our families at the same time so that we can continue to be healthy and do this study and do this work. It's very important. And so I appreciate this opportunity to have a chance to share a little bit about it with your listeners.
Well, thank you. This won't be the last time. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Dr. McDougall, for being here. Thank you, everybody. And I'm sorry, we always have more show than we have time, and we're already way over. So I want to thank you.
Thank you for having
one of you.
This was great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And again, don't forget Veggie Fest next Sunday. I'll be there all day broadcasting live from Veggie Fest for doing my show from Veggie Fest. So I'll be there. And you need to come out, because some of these people you need to hear. So go online, check them out, Baxter Montgomery. All the speakers are great. And until next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace.